Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday evening. It's just Regina. Laurent is, I guess, on an airplane right now, probably. He flew out this afternoon to California. He's going out to visit his cousin, Avi, and Resta. He's going out to see Resta. Resta's out in Temecula. And he might also get the opportunity to see Ken Wapnick. So he's gone for about a week. He comes back next Thursday night. But as far as I know, Dev, he is going to be teaching from out there. That's at least what he was planning. This is the link to reginadonacres.com, October 2005. And we're actually going to be starting with the very first message, which is Friday, October 28th. It's right there at the top of your screen when you click on the link. It's called The Purpose of Fear. So that's what we're going to be looking at. Before we do that, what I would like to do is go to the Holy Spirit in prayer. So, Holy Spirit, ego. Ego is on my mind right now. And the reason that ego is on my mind is because when ego seems to really have our mind, it seems to be quite a challenge. And of course, I get the opportunity to talk to people who feel like ego has a very strong grip on them. And when it feels like ego has a very strong grip, it can seem difficult. Sometimes almost hopeless. So, Holy Spirit, if there's anything that you can share through us tonight that is helpful to anyone that may feel like ego has a grip on them, of course, it is gratefully appreciated. But I don't want to stop with a specific prayer because I don't ever want to limit the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, I want to express gratitude right now. A lot of gratitude for everything you give us. And I'd like to just take a moment to place our vision, place our attention there with the great, great gifts that you give us. Again, I want to say thank you. And then, Holy Spirit, I want to open up the night so that whatever is most helpful to us can be given without any limits put upon you. Please help us to see whatever there is that is helpful for us to see and to realize whatever there is that is helpful for us to realize. Thank you and amen. All right. Okay, so people are still popping into the room, so let me just repeat the link again. This goes to October 2005 at reginadonacres.com. And we're going to start by looking at the message that is at the very top of October, which really means it was the last message of October. And it's called The Purpose of Fear. And this was 3 years ago. 3 years ago. And I remember 3 years ago because I was going through a lot of fear. And in fact, in October of 2005, possibly beginning with this message, and November of 2005, Holy Spirit gave me a lot of messages about fear because I was experiencing a lot of fear and I really needed help. So probably the next few times that we go through Holy Spirit guides, as we go through the last of October and then all of November 2005, we'll get to review these messages. I remember them as being very, very helpful. What I don't remember at all is the specifics of them because I haven't read them in years. So I'm looking forward to reading them again and seeing what kind of help Holy Spirit gave us. So here's the first, I think, of the messages on fear. Here was my question. In regards to fear, A Course in Miracles says, as long as you recognize only the need for the remedy, you will remain fearful. However, as soon as you accept the remedy, you have abolished fear. This is how true healing occurs. And then I asked, what can you share regarding this thought? So this is what Holy Spirit gave us. Accepting the remedy would be to accept the atonement, which is to accept that you are not separate and alone, but a part of a whole, innocent and free, pure love, one as God created you. When this view is accepted, you cannot be afraid, for fear no longer has a purpose for you. And then I asked, so we accept fear because it serves our own purpose? And Holy Spirit answered, every thought that you accept because it serves a purpose that you have aligned with. You can seem to have mixed purposes because your mind is split, but this is merely a state of indecision. Indecision can seem to be intolerable because of the insane thought that wants you to decide for it. Yet because you do know the truth and you are not insane, you can never wholly support that thought. This is why the mind is split. Until you choose to give that thought no more thoughts of support, you will seem to have mixed purposes, and you will experience some discomfort. Oh, sorry, some pain and discomfort. Now, it's funny. I think nowadays I laugh at the silliest things, but I'm laughing at this on the inside because I see the craziness of it now. I don't think I saw the craziness of it when I received this message. I don't think I was laughing at all. But what Holy Spirit is clearly telling us is we can never choose the ego fully. That's an impossibility. An impossibility. We can never choose the ego fully. And so what that means is whenever we choose the ego in any moment, we are splitting ourselves between two desires or two purposes, and this is what causes pain. And the humor, where is the humor coming from? Why am I laughing at it? Because I see the insanity of it, I guess. And because I know, I'm very clear now. I'm very clear now that we don't want to choose the ego. I know that we do. I mean, I know that we do. But I'm very clear that we don't want to. And I guess somehow it's humorous to me, which is good, because remember what went wrong with the tiny mad ideas? We forgot to laugh, right? And I guess now maybe I'm starting to laugh. It's humorous to me that we would continue to choose the ego when we can never choose it fully, and therefore choosing the ego must create a split that must create pain. It's funny. But like I said, I'm sure it wasn't funny to me in October of 2005, so let's see what I had to say next. The pain and discomfort comes from supporting the insane thought against my true will and reason, right? And can you tell me more about the purpose of fear? And Holy Spirit answers, yes. Pain and discomfort come from supporting the insane thought. And yes, that is because it is against your true will. Like everything else, and this is true of everything without exception, fear is a thought. When you look at fear and see it as nothing but a thought, and you remember that all thought either supports truth or insanity, which bucket would you put fear in? So Holy Spirit is putting before me two buckets. Now this is also funny because I used to be a corporate trainer, and it seems to me now like I vaguely remember having an exercise like this. I don't remember what class it is or what I was trying to teach, but it seems like I had a class that I taught where I had buckets and I had ideas on pieces of paper. Maybe they were ideas like, here's something a good manager would say and here's something a bad manager would say. I don't remember what they were. It was corporate training. But I used to give people the ideas on pieces of paper and have them throw them into the proper bucket. And it looks like Holy Spirit is now taking my training trick and turning it back on me. He's having me write fear on a piece of paper, you know, in my mind, of course, and he's given me two buckets. One bucket that says supports truth and one bucket that says supports insanity. And he's asking me, now, which bucket would you put fear in? And you know why he's doing this? I'm sure it's the same reason I did it with my students. Is because there has to be an internal understanding of what's helpful and what's not helpful. Before there's a decision to only choose what's helpful. And so, you know, just like I might have things a good manager and things a bad manager would say, and I would have them sorted, that helped them to, you know, get an intrinsic understanding of what was helpful to say to an employee and what was not helpful to say to an employee. Well, Holy Spirit's having me do that with fear. And why would Holy Spirit have me do that with fear? Well, because the truth is, guys, the reason we continue to listen to fear is because we have an idea in the mind that it is helpful. You know, we have an idea in the mind that fear is trying to save us. I mean, you know, let's look at the simple example of money, which is a very common fear. When my mind starts freaking out about not having enough money, if I really look at the mind and look at all the chitter-chatter that's going on, isn't it really freaking out, causing the emotional experience of fear, because I somehow think my safety or my security is involved in these thoughts and this figuring out process that I'm in? You see, I think fear is helpful. I think fear is helping me. And Holy Spirit needs me to see that it's not helpful. So he gives me the word fear on a piece of paper in my mind. And he gives me two buckets. Supports truth or supports insanity. And he asks me to figure out which bucket to put fear in. And you can tell from my answer, it was pretty clear, because I said, it supports insanity. And Holy Spirit then said, so that's its purpose. That's its purpose. It's not helpfulness, it's not security, which is what it tries to lie to you and say it is. It's not that. Its purpose is insanity. Holy Spirit again says, so that is its purpose. As long as you hold on to fear, you support the split within the mind, and you do not fully accept the remedy. So what we've seen so far in this communication with Holy Spirit is that we cannot ever fully choose the ego, because a part of our mind knows the truth, and the part of our mind that is knowledge is not going to let go of the truth, okay? So that can't happen. We can't ever fully choose the ego. So in any moment when we are choosing the ego, we are also choosing to split our will, split our mind, split our heart, split our desire. We're choosing to create a split within ourself. And when we choose to create a split within ourself, it must create pain and discomfort. And that, of course, is insanity. To torture yourself is insane. To torture yourself is insane. And this is the purpose of fear, Holy Spirit says. And so just like I used to do with my students in corporate training, he's saying, can you clearly see now that fear is not helpful? I mean, it's not any different than, you know, when I used to teach managers. You know, some managers would bring employees into their office, I'm sure you guys know the type, and chew them upside and down, scold them for every single little mistake they made. And I had to teach managers that that wasn't helpful, that, you know, chewing out your employees does not motivate them to be better employees. But do you know why the managers brought them in the office and chewed them out before they learned that? Because the managers thought it was helpful. I mean, really. They thought if they yelled at the guy, he'd do it right next time. So I had to teach them, no, that's not helpful. That's exactly what Holy Spirit's doing here. We hold on to fear because we think it's helpful to us. We think our security lies in those thoughts and that figuring out. And Holy Spirit is showing us it's not helpful. We have to learn that so that we will make the decision to change our habits. So again, last thing that Holy Spirit said after I put fear in the bucket called insanity, Holy Spirit said, so that's its purpose. As long as you hold on to fear, you support the split within the mind, and you do not fully accept the remedy. And then I asked, so to accept the remedy and to let go of fear is one. They are simultaneous. The means and the end are one. Is this correct? And Holy Spirit said, yes. Now this was very important for me. Look at this next sentence. Yes. Really, look at this next sentence. You cannot wait for fear to be gone in order to accept the truth. For accepting truth ends fear because the purpose that fear supported is gone. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I did have a thought in the mind that I would accept truth when I was no longer afraid, when fear stopped, when fear got out of the way, then I would accept the truth. And Holy Spirit is just saying that's you can't wait for fear. Fear's not going to get out of the way. It's accepting the truth that makes the fear disappear. And in fact, that's actually reminded me very much of today's single quiet thought. It's worded a little differently, but it's kind of the same thought. It's talking about the me, the little me, you know, which is the split, by the way, the thought that I am separate from you. Today's single quiet thought says, first of all, the ego cannot be beaten. The ego cannot be beaten. To fight the ego is to give it reality. To pay attention to it, which is like to listen to it, to pay attention to it is to give it authority over me. And this me is in quotes. And the way I really understood this when I heard today's single quiet thought is that to pay attention to the ego or to listen to the ego actually creates the me. Which is very similar to this message. It's saying that creates the split. Okay, so this creates the me, which splits me off from you. Again, the ego cannot be beaten. To fight the ego is to give it to reality. To pay attention to it is to give it authority over me. It creates a me. And then Holy Spirit continues, the ego is let go by not listening to it. Me is dissolved, and then listen to how me is dissolved or how the split is dissolved. Me is dissolved by returning to the heart of one. Me is dissolved by returning to the heart of one. So accepting our truth is what ends fear, which means we can't wait for fear to be gone before we accept the truth. Now, the next thing I asked Holy Spirit, I said, let's talk about paths to accepting truth. A friend has asked if one must continue to peel back the layers and look at the ego in order to come to the point of accepting truth, or could one come to that point through charity? That is, through seeing all brothers as healed, seeing only the God Self, and realizing that anything else is illusion. What can you share about this? Here was Holy Spirit's answer. The path to peace is the consistent choice for that purpose. I'm going to read that sentence again. The path to peace is the consistent choice for that purpose. When one is choosing peace, which is seeing the Christ mind, one is choosing the path of peace. Again, when one is choosing peace, which is seeing with the Christ mind, one is choosing the path of peace. When one is not seen with the Christ mind, one has an opportunity to choose again. Taking this opportunity willingly is realigning with the purpose of peace. There is nothing else that need be done. When one sees a brother through the Christ mind, one will not feel as if he is extending charity. He will feel as if he is seeing all that matters. And anything that he is not seeing or not accepting as meaningful is meaningless. If a brother has the feeling that he is extending charity by overlooking something real, there is an error in his seeing, and this error must be corrected. The error may be corrected by recognizing the error and choosing again. Since the error itself is meaningless, this choice can be easily made. But if a brother feels he cannot make this choice easily, he may need to look further at what seems to be preventing his choice. By understanding what seems to be an obstacle to his choice, he can choose to let go of the obstacle, and this will free him to make the choice. But if he is unaware of the obstacle, the seeming inability to make the choice may seem to cause great pain and discomfort. This is, there's an awful lot in this. I felt like reading it without stopping, but of course now I feel like going back and looking at it and tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the link one more time because I know a few people have popped into the room. This is the link, and we're reading the message that shows up when you click on the link. It's called The Purpose of Fear. And really, Holy Spirit just kind of talked about three different types of situations. Three different types of forgiveness situations, I'll call it. One, he used the term extending charity, but I'm going to move away from that term right now and just describe what he's talking about with another set of words. If you see a brother as guilty, and you have to, of course, be honest with yourself. But if you see a brother as guilty, and while seeing the brother as guilty, say, but I know who you really are. You have not truly practiced forgiveness because you are holding on to the idea of seeing the brother as guilty. This is the first point that Holy Spirit is making. So you cannot say, you know, Lori, I'm going to pick on you, my beloved Lori Hepler. I like to pick on my friends. I'm hoping they'll not see me as guilty. But I'm going to make up a story. So it's not really picking on her. I'm just using her name. But let me think up a story. Let me make up a story about you, Lori. Let's say, what could Lori do to me that I would see her as guilty? I'm going to use Mary Ellen, too. I'll use Lori and Mary Ellen. Let's say I found out that Lori called Mary Ellen and told her all this stuff about me that, first of all, I didn't perceive as true, but second of all, certainly made me look really bad. And then I hear about it because Mary Ellen calls me and tells me. So now I know that Lori called and gossiped all up and down on the phone with Mary Ellen. All right? So I take the spiritual stance with Mary Ellen on the phone. And I'm angry at Lori. I think what Lori did was wrong. I think Lori betrayed my friendship. And with these ideas still in my mind, I say, but I know who she is. Okay? But I have not let go of the idea of guilt. I have not let go of the idea of being betrayed. I'm just practicing the words of A Course in Miracles. Holy Spirit is saying, this is not forgiveness. That's the first thing he says. But then the second thing Holy Spirit says is basically, but that's okay, because you've always got another opportunity. So when you realize that you didn't truly practice forgiveness, when you realize that you actually still have a grievance against Lori, you got another chance. And in fact, what Holy Spirit says in this is he says, you know, this error of not having forgiven Lori the first time, this error can be easily corrected by recognizing the error and choosing again. And, you know, a way that that would probably work for me, I'm just going to use a very specific example, is if this had happened, okay, if this situation was true, I might later see that I still have a grievance about Lori, like I notice when I teach in Pal Talk, she pops in the room and I roll my eyes, and then I notice that I rolled my eyes, and I think, oh, I must have a grievance against Lori, or I wouldn't have rolled my eyes. Well, if I want to take that opportunity as another opportunity to forgive, what I would do is I would look in my mind and I would say, what are my thoughts about Lori? And I might start noticing thoughts in my mind like, well, she talked about me behind my back. She's not supposed to do that. Friends aren't supposed to act like that. Well, if I do not have a firm belief in these ideas, I can look at the ideas and I can say, look what I'm doing. Here I am believing that friends are supposed to act a certain way, you know, and I can remind myself, my friend Lori's the free son of God. She's free to act any way she wants to, and I can instantly truly forgive her. And now I have forgiven her because I'm seeing her as innocent. And that quick letting go of the actual thoughts that were in my mind and seeing that the thoughts in my mind were not true, that they were my error, now I've forgiven Lori. Because I recognized my error, I let it go, and she is innocent in my eyes. This is forgiveness. And Holy Spirit is saying, this can be really easy. This can be really easy. But then Holy Spirit goes on to say, however, there are times when it might not seem easy. It might not be that easy for me just to look in my mind and say, wait a minute, I forgot. I was thinking for a minute that friends had to act a special way, you know, and now I remember she's the free son of God. She can act however she is, you know, however she wants to. Sometimes that may be very easy, but if I have a deeper obstacle, I might not be able to do that. Because you know what? Maybe there's a belief in my mind in something such as betrayal. Maybe I do have a belief that friends are supposed to act a certain way. And because that belief is in my mind, I can't just say the words, "Oh, she's the free son of God. She can act however she wants," and let it go. I can only do that if I really see that way. But if the way that I really believe is that there are rules of friendship, then just saying those words and calling that an error in my mind isn't going to work. And what I'm going to find out is a week later when I come in pal talk and Lori pops in the room, I'm rolling my eyes again. Because letting go of the thoughts that I was thinking was not enough. So this is when Holy Spirit is saying sometimes we have to go deeper. And we have to find the obstacle that is actually supporting the thoughts. And the obstacle in this case might be, betrayal. It might be that I do have a belief in my mind that friends act a certain way, especially spiritual friends who are practicing A Course in Miracles. I have very high expectations of my friend Lori because she practiced A Course in Miracles. She reads NTI. She's my friend. She should know better. She should know better. And this is a belief in my mind. Well, then just letting go of those thoughts, if that's a belief in my mind, just letting go of the thoughts isn't going to be enough to forgive her. So now what I have to do is I have to look at a belief in my mind. And I actually did this once. Betrayal was a belief that I found in my mind and I was able to let go of. So I can describe what that was like. There was someone that I thought was betraying me and I had a very strong grievance. And in fact, I tried letting go of it by letting go of my thoughts, which was the example we just talked about, for like 9 months. For 9 months, I'm letting go of my thoughts. And yet every time I thought about this person or heard about this person, there was that stab again. That grievance was still there. Letting go of thoughts wasn't working for me. And the reason it wasn't working for me is because I had a deeper belief that I had to let go of. And one day while I was on the phone with another friend, just kind of talking about this grievance that I couldn't seem to let go of, I suddenly saw. I mean, it had to be Holy Spirit because I just suddenly saw, clear as day, instantly, the belief in betrayal in my mind, and I saw that betrayal wasn't possible. You see, what I saw instantly was literally every single betrayal I'd ever experienced in my life, like all lined up, from fifth grade all the way to this most current betrayal, all in a line. And what I saw was that every single betrayal had common characteristics. Every single betrayal, first of all, required a defined relationship. Now, the relationship wasn't always the same. Sometimes it was a friendship, like with Lori in our example. Sometimes it was a boss-employee relationship. Sometimes a co-worker relationship. Sometimes a lover relationship. But there was always a defined relationship. Another common characteristic is that with every defined relationship, I did have ideas about how to treat each other, how friends should treat each other, how a boss and an employee should treat each other, how lovers should treat each other. The third common characteristic is I never discussed that with the other. I never sat down and wrote out a contract and said, "This is how bosses and employees should treat each other. This is how friends should treat each other." I had expectations in my mind that were assumed, I guess, to be universal. And then I lived up to my expectations. I treated the other the way I thought we should treat each other. But then somewhere along the line, the other broke the unspoken contract, and I felt betrayed. And what happened when I saw this in my mind is I saw that it was an entire setup in my mind from A to D. A, I defined the relationship. B, I defined the rules. C, I never communicated the rules as if, that's stupid, but I never communicated the rules. It would have been stupid too, is what I'm saying. But still, they were uncommunicated. And then D, I followed the rules. I sat myself up to be betrayed, and I saw that it only happened through a series of ideas in my head. And I saw this so clearly that I literally realized The betrayal is impossible. Betrayal is nothing but thoughts in my head about what's supposed to be. And I also really did see that my brother's the free son of God, and he is under no rules. He's under no rules, no rules. And when I saw this in a very real way, it was like an aha, a great big giant aha, and I was able to literally let go of the belief in betrayal. Literally. Now, when I let go of the belief in betrayal, that not only freed me, it freed everybody. It freed everybody. And now that I've let go of the belief in betrayal, if I see a thought in my mind that says, Lori's my friend, she's not supposed to talk behind my back to Mary Ellen, now I can just laugh at that thought and let it go because it's no longer supported by a deeper obstacle. But before I can look at that thought and let it go, I had to let go of the deeper obstacle that was hidden that was supporting the thought. So this is what Holy Spirit is talking about. And what I'm going to do, first of all, I think I will just let go of the mic for a second and see if anybody has any questions. And then I'll just read what Holy Spirit said again. But first, does anybody have any questions? I do see both a question and an answer from Nathan. But it's great, so we'll read Nathan's question and Nathan's answer. The question is, what if Lori continues to allegedly gossip? See how nice he's saying allegedly gossip. What if Lori continues to allegedly gossip week after week after week if the audience she allegedly gossips to loves gossip? Oh, so now Mary Ellen's guilty too. But then his answer is, Jesus says in the Course, I will wait. And you know, that answer is actually in my heart now. That answer is literally in my heart now. And I will wait comes from seeing innocence. That's where I will wait comes from. I will wait comes from seeing innocence. I mean, the point that I've come to now, and I think I discussed this morning actually in a different teaching, but the point that I've come to now, if Lori was really doing this, which of course she isn't, in case anybody's popped into the room late, we want to make sure we aren't giving Lori a bad rep. But if Lori was really doing this, you know, the way I would look at that now is that Lori's just listening to her own fears in her own mind. I mean, I don't see her as guilty at all. I see that Lori's fearful. She's believing her fears. She's listening to her fears. And I will just wait. I will just wait as her loving friend until, you know, she's ready, you know, but I'm always there. I'm always there, just like Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is always there. We may not always be ready for Holy Spirit, but Holy Spirit is always there. And that's what I am now. I am always there. It doesn't mean, you know, I might be out of your way for a while if you don't seemingly want me around, but I am always there in the heart. So I will wait if Lori wants to gossip week after week after week. I will let Lori be. I will let her play that game, and I will wait, and I will love her. And she is innocent. So yeah, Nathan answered his own question. Okay, again, I'll let go of the mic, see if anybody has anything else. All right, then, let's go back, and now that we've discussed it, let's read what Holy Spirit said again. I'm going to start with the answer. The first few words were, the path to peace is the consistent choice. Okay, that's where I'm starting. The path to peace is the consistent choice for that purpose, and of course, that would be the purpose of peace. When one is choosing peace, which is seen with the Christ mind, one is choosing the path of peace. When one is not seen with the Christ mind, one has the opportunity to choose again. Taking this opportunity willingly is realigning with the purpose of peace. There is nothing else that need be done. When one sees a brother through the Christ mind, one will not feel as if he is extending charity. He will feel as if he is seeing all that matters. And anything that he is not seeing or not accepting as meaningful is meaningless. And this is interesting because he defines seeing here, which I think is really, really good. I think sometimes we get a confusion in the mind, you know, or at least I've had it. Yeah, I shouldn't speak for you guys. A confusion in the mind that if I'm seen with Holy Spirit, I won't even know that Lori's gossiping. Like, I won't even see that. Well, Holy Spirit has told me, no, that's not true. I mean, if Lori is calling up Mary Ellen and gossiping, and Mary Ellen is calling you and telling you about it, you'll hear those words. I mean, you'll hear that. It's not like, you know, it will be completely out of your awareness. It's just you'll see it completely differently. And this explains what seeing it completely differently means. I'll see it as meaningless. It won't matter to me. It has no meaning whatsoever. It doesn't touch at all who Lori is for me. You know, it just has no meaning whatsoever that she's calling up and gossiping to Mary Ellen. It's completely meaningless. This is what not seeing it means. It doesn't mean that I'm so bliss nannied out I can't hear Mary Ellen's words when Mary Ellen says, you know, Lori's calling me and saying this and this and this. I hear Mary Ellen's words, but they don't matter. They have no effect on me or the way I see. So again, when one sees a brother through the Christ mind, one will not feel as if he is extending charity. He will feel as if he is seeing all that matters, and anything that he is not seeing or not accepting as meaningful is meaningless. If a brother has the feeling that he is extending charity by overlooking something real, there is an error in his seeing, and this error must be corrected. The error may be corrected by recognizing the error and choosing again. Since the error itself is meaningless, this choice can be easily made. But if a brother feels he cannot make this choice easily, he may need to look further at what seems to be preventing his choice. By understanding what seems to be an obstacle to his choice, he can choose to let go of the obstacle. And this will free him to make the choice. But if he is unaware of the obstacle, the seeming inability to make the choice may seem to cause great pain and discomfort. And this is what I was talking about with in my actual situation, you know, when there was someone that I felt betrayed me and I didn't understand that betrayal was the core problem, and I kept trying to let go of the thoughts and I couldn't. Because I was unaware of the obstacle during that 9 months, it was very painful. Very painful, because all of these thoughts kept coming back into my mind, you know, bad-mouthing this guy, and I didn't want them, and I was very split, and it was very painful. And the only way for me to be freed from that pain was to have the obstacle identified for me and let that go. But that wasn't something that I could really do, because I was totally unaware of the obstacle. I guess the only thing that I could do and what I did do was I just kept giving my willingness to forgive, just kept giving my willingness to forgive. And eventually, I miraculously saw the obstacle. It just appeared. I suddenly saw, like I said, I suddenly saw every betrayal in my life lined up. I suddenly saw the common characteristics. I suddenly saw the whole thing was nothing but a setup of ideas in my mind, and I suddenly saw I could let that go, that it wasn't true. There was no real such thing as betrayal. But that was a miracle. That was a miracle. It only came through 9 months of pain and 9 months of continually giving my willingness to forgive this person. Which again, I was unable to do until I saw the obstacle in my own mind. So, let's continue with the message then. The next thing I said to Holy Spirit is, can you simplify everything we've talked about into a summary? Because this was kind of a long message. I wanted something to walk away with. Holy Spirit said, purpose is the word I would have you keep in your mind today. realize that since you are not healed, it is because you have not fully accepted your purpose. And this is still true for me today, and possibly true for everyone in the room. I don't want to speak for you. But very possibly, this is still true for all of us. We are not fully healed, which means we have not fully accepted our purpose, or it's not our only purpose yet. So again, Holy Spirit says, purpose is the word I would have you keep in your mind today. Realize that since you are not healed, it is because you have not fully accepted your purpose. I call it your purpose because it is your true will. It is what you want. Therefore, all you need to do is be consistent in choosing with yourself. Be aware of the purpose you are supporting in each instant today. Be consistently willing to support the purpose that you truly want. And this is what we talked about last Friday in the NTI discussion group. Instead of the word purpose, we used the word desire. But we talked about how we really lead ourselves to awakening by keeping our true desire, our desire to awaken, our desire to know thyself in the front of the mind always. And we also talked about this is how the single quiet thoughts are helpful. That if we take these single quiet thoughts, or it could be a Course in Miracles workbook lesson, it's the same thing. And we literally keep them with us all day long and pull them out and read them as often as we can remember to read them. That helps to keep our purpose in the front of our mind. And if our purpose is in the front of our mind, then we will naturally make different decisions throughout the day. We will naturally make different choices. And we will then be choosing consistently with ourself. Okay. And then NTI says, in that purpose, that reason is love. And he's quoting NTI, page 39. Did I say Nathan? For some reason, I think I said a different name. But if I did, I meant Nathan. And that purpose, reason is love, NTI, page 39. So again, I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody else wants to talk. Because, you know, I don't have Laurent here giving me breaks, so I need you guys to help me out. Okay, no break for Gina. All right. Purpose is meaning, Dove says. Workbook, a lesson 25, probably paragraph 1, if I'm reading his annotations right. Okay, you guys, we have finished October of 2005. We are ready to go to November of 2005. If you are at reginadonacres.com, you'll have the menu on the right. You can literally just click on November of 2005. If you're not at reginadonacres.com, just wait a moment and I will give you a link. When you get to November of 2005, you can click on previous entries. And that will take you to the very first page of that month. Let me get this link, which is the first page of November 2005, and I'll share that. There you go, for anybody who's not already there, that's the page. And then when you get to the page, the very first page for November 2005, you'll want to scroll to the very bottom, and that will be our first message. And the name of the message is, ooh, what would you have me do? And it looks like it's a fairly long message, and we only have 10 minutes, so you know what? I don't know. Maybe we'll read it. We'll read it, and then we'll see if we feel like we need to start here again next week. We'll read it. We have 10 minutes. But if it seems real deep and we feel like we want to talk about it, then in 2 weeks, actually, when I come back, we'll just start here again. How's that sound? So we'll read it. From Tuesday, November 1st, what would you have me do? Let's see what this says. Here was the question. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? Now, that sounds real familiar. That's a workbook lesson. It looks like I was asking a question out of a workbook lesson from A Course in Miracles. And here was the answer I was given. The answer to this question is difficult to hear. Because the thought of separation that you think is you wants to hear a specific plan and specific steps it can follow to become worthy of salvation. In this thought is found all of the confusion of the ego. And of course, Holy Spirit was speaking to me on this day, and apparently what was going on in my mind, even though I was asking the questions of surrender, I was coming from a place in my mind of unworthiness, and I was hoping to somehow be given something that I could do. It almost makes me think of to buy my way into heaven. Reminds me of a movie that Laurent and I saw recently. What was the name of that movie? I remember I didn't think it was a very good movie. No, I don't remember the name of it. If he was here, he could tell you. But in the movie, it was starring Keanu Reeves. And in the movie, he had tried to commit suicide earlier in his life. And based on the God in this particular movie, now he was condemned to hell. He had survived the suicide, but he was condemned to hell for the attempt. And now he knew for a fact he was going to go to hell whenever he finally did die. And what he was spending his whole life doing was trying to buy his way into heaven, buy God's forgiveness, by being basically an exorcist. He was an exorcist. Whenever anybody, you know, was demonized, had a demon within them, he would go and exorcise the demon. And he thought if he exorcised enough demons, he could buy his way into heaven, because he was, you know, damned forever to hell for attempting suicide. Well, somehow it looks like I had this idea in my mind that I could serve God or serve Holy Spirit in order to escape my unworthiness and become worthy of awakening. So I was asking the right questions, but I was coming from the wrong place. Okay, so Holy Spirit continues. First you think, I am separate from the Holy Spirit, and I may or may not hear his voice. Then you think, if I do not hear his voice, it is because I am unworthy. And this is the most likely scenario, so I don't expect to hear anything. Does this sound familiar? Come on, I know some of you guys have had these thoughts. Maybe not quite so spelled out, but I think we've all been here. You know, I am separate from the Holy Spirit, and I may or may not hear his voice. Error number one. Error number two. If I do not hear his voice, it is because I am unworthy. And this is the most likely scenario, so I don't expect to hear anything. Finally, you think, if I do hear his voice, he will tell me exactly what I must do to be saved. But I probably won't like what I hear, because he will ask some horrific sacrifice. Ah, that sounds true too, doesn't it? If I do hear him, he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. This is all way too familiar, isn't it, guys? Okay, so continuing on. And in all of this, the voice for God seems lost to you because you are afraid of it. But the voice for God is not lost to you. If you listen more closely to a voice beyond the fear, you will hear clearly what the voice for God asks you to do. Go through your day doing what seems to come to you. Okay, so go through your day doing what seems to come to you. Do not worry that you are making the wrong choices regarding what you do, for you cannot be wrong. Do not feel that you need to follow a specific plan or keep certain obligations, because what you feel to do in the moment is what you are to do. Let go of anything else that the moment might have been used for. These thoughts are just distractions now. So what this is saying is, if I feel to sit down and watch TV, then sit down and watch TV fully. Don't worry about maybe I should be doing this or maybe I should be doing that. If you feel to take a walk now, then take a walk fully. Okay, this is what Holy Spirit is saying. Do what you feel to do in the moment, and then give yourself to that fully. Holy Spirit continues, as you do what you are guided to do, I ask you to go within the mind. Go deep within the mind and observe the thoughts that are there as you are doing. Discern between the ego thoughts and the holy ones. Dismiss the ego thoughts easily as nothing. Feast upon the holy thoughts as everything. In this way, you will enjoy peace as you do what you do. So as you are watching TV fully, watch your mind. Are you judging the character on the TV screen? Let that thought go. As you're taking your walk, watch your mind. Are you daydreaming about what Lori said when she was gossiping about me on the phone? If so, let that thought go. Pull out the single quiet thought. Feast on that. I mean, this is what Holy Spirit is saying. It's really very simple advice. Holy Spirit continues. Speak to the ones that come to you. Who shall I talk to? The ones that come to you. That's easy, isn't it? Sometimes the best way to speak is to listen. Notice if you feel pressure to say a certain thing, and remember that pressure never comes from me. Do not say what you feel pressure or anxiousness to say. Gladly let that thought go. What I would have you say will come naturally, and you may not even know that you are going to say it until you hear the words coming from your mouth. So do not worry what you will say. Listen in non-judgment, and then say what comes out of you. In this way, step through your day, moment by moment, following my plan as it is revealed to you. And notice, this really implies that it's revealed to you moment by moment. In this way, step through your day, moment by moment, following my plan as it is revealed to you. Resist the ego temptation to take over and control, or to believe that you must take over and control. Trust in me completely, and enjoy the adventure with curiosity and delight. Notice that. Enjoy the adventure with curiosity and delight. I will lead you home if you will let me, by letting go of all temptation to lead yourself separate from me. Moment to moment, relax into the moment of now. This is where I am. Meet me here. We are one in accord with it all. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to click on that and get the specific link to that message. And I'm going to share this specific link with you. So if any of you want to print this and go over it later, you can. And the reason I say that is because, again, I know that the way this message started off about, you know, I'm separate from the Holy Spirit, and I may or may not hear His voice. If I do not hear His voice, it's because I'm unworthy, and that's the most likely scenario, so I don't expect to hear anything. And if I do hear Him, He's going to tell me something I don't want to hear. I know all of those thoughts are very, very common. So I'm giving you the link to this message, so if you want to, you can print it and go over that answer and help to let go of those first thoughts that are obstacles to hear Holy Spirit, which we can hear in every moment. God's voice speaks to me throughout the day. Amen. And that's it for tonight, guys. Laurent will be here tomorrow from California at 1 o'clock our time, and I will be back on Friday at 2 o'clock. It looks like I'm also here Saturday night at 8:30 and Sunday night at 7. And 7, we will begin our weekly meetings regarding the NTI reading. And, of course, everybody is invited to speak and share their clarity that they're getting from NTI if you're doing the NTI reading. Okay, good night, everyone. I love you.